Well, it came and it's gone. Judgment Day, the rapture, I don't think it happened. Well, then again, if it did, we wouldn't know about it because you're still here and so am I. We've got open lines for you for the next couple hours here on Coast to Coast AM. And of course, one of my questions to you, how do you feel you weren't taken? What's that like? Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, and don't forget Ian Punnett this Saturday and George Knapp for you on Sunday. And as we get into the week, a few more little scary type programs and at least 1 hour episodes for you as we lead into Ghost to Ghost on Monday, Halloween night, which Tom is producing with the producer Lisa, and it's going to be dynamite. I see some of the clips that they were working on before I left L.A. to head back for St. Louis for a little bit. And it's just exciting things. I'm really excited. And they've got some great callers picked up, plus you, when you call in during the open line portion of Ghost to Ghost. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to Tony in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You get us going. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, what's going on? I love the show.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it.
I'm a security guard, and I work at a rundown old state hospital called Mayview. And I'm not a real big believer in the paranormal, you know, after listening to the other guards' stories, you know, me and the other guys there figured, hey, why not? Let's try it out. You know, make me a believer, pretty much. And I try to find rational things for everything. You know, there's got to be some kind of explanation for something, even as simple as something falling off a shelf. Well, on our rounds, we come up to the old actual hospital part. Now, this hospital's 100-plus years old. It's got modern updates. And we caught something in a window. So doing our job, we went to go find out, figure, you know, maybe it's a bunch of teenagers and stuff like that. And we get to the appropriate floor, and honestly, we didn't see anything. Now, a few minutes later, after entering the building, you know, we start hearing stuff moving around, and we figure, oh, you know, it's just winds or, you know, a small animal.
Yeah.
Until right in front of us, you know, three or four doors started closing in front of us.
Oh.
It's a sealed concrete hospital building. You know,
Is it a functional hospital, Tony?
It was completely functional up until about 2006.
Okay.
And some of the other buildings are even older than that. It actually started out as an old tuberculosis hospital in the early 1900s. The first building was actually built in the late 1800s. Yeah, so it's a fairly old building with a lot of history to it. And it housed everything from people from, you know, general illness to, you know, even the criminally insane.
I'm sure it saw its amount of deaths too, didn't it?
Oh, without a doubt, especially during, you know, the early 1900s, you know, the 1920s and 1930s when tuberculosis was real bad, you know. And honestly, you know, we have no explanation why three or four doors in within eyeshot, you know, even right next to us started closing. You know, and not like a general, like someone like, you know, light push. We're talking, these were like hard slams, you know, enough to where we actually
bam. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One of the other reports that we got was an old woman, you know, walking around the hospital, you know, and even now it still gives me chills, even thinking about it.
Tony, what if they forgot one patient, this little old lady, and she's still there?
You know, the thought has crossed my mind.
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah.
Or she was hiding when they went and scooped everybody up and took them out.
the company I work for, you know, they started tearing down the building. And stories that I've heard is that people, you know, doing construction, remodeling, tend to spook up things like that. You know, great distress or even, you know, you know, you're tearing down something that you've stayed in for long periods of time. You know, even parts of the building were used as a long-term care facility, you know, like a nursing home.
You've got to send us some pictures of this place, Tony, if you can.
Oh, yeah. I have them on my phone. I have them on my laptop. I'll definitely send you pictures of some of the buildings that we've caught. But honestly, up until recently, it takes a lot to spook me. You know, I mean, I'm a retired U.S. Marine, so there's not much that spooks me. And honestly, I don't want to set foot in those buildings anymore.
I don't blame you. It's real. It's real stuff. Tony, thanks for the call. And yeah, and send them to me. You can text it to me at george@coasttocoastam.com if you would. Let's go next to Wynette in Queen Creek, Arizona. Try saying that 10 times. Hey, Wynette, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Nice to talk to you.
All right. Here's my test. Say Queen Creek 10 times.
Queen Creek.
Go. 10 times.
Queen Creek, Queen Creek, Queen Creek, Queen Creek, Queen Creek. Not too bad.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yes, it is. So how are you doing this evening?
I'm wonderful. I love open lines. It's one of my favorite nights.
Well, and I can't believe that I'm actually calling in. I've been listening to this show since I was a little girl, and my mom would put Art Bell on our way to rodeos and to the horse shows late at night. And just to get us there, we would stay awake listening to the creepy shows. And I can't believe I'm actually a part of it tonight.
See how it's handed down. Mom listened to Art. You listened to George. It's tradition.
Right, and hopefully my kids will listen to you.
Absolutely. If I'm still here, if not, it'll probably be somebody named Will. You never know.
Who knows? Okay, so my interesting story. About 2 weeks ago, I was in Salt Lake City. I was just passing through, happened to take my new husband and I. We've only been married for 2 months now.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, last Friday, a couple called. He did. And proposed to her on the air.
Oh, wow.
It was so cool. It was. But anyway, go ahead with your story.
Well, anyhow, my husband had never been to Temple Square in Salt Lake City. And he's actually a new member of the church, the LDS church. And I was really excited to take him there. And we happened to stop and go through all the different buildings and the tabernacle. And there's another church just beside the tabernacle that everybody's open to the public. And I was just on the south side of the temple, actually inside of, how would I explain it? The visitor center where they take you in and they have like a replica of the temple and you can see on the inside what it looks like as far as architecture and whatnot. Anyway, I was in there and I was taking pictures, just snapping pictures, didn't think anything of it. I had posted a few of them on my Facebook page and I didn't think anything of it. But the other night I was going through them and I'm like, oh, I'll just delete some of these. I need more room on my phone. I happened to zoom in and I saw some things that were really interesting and I thought, oh my goodness, this is too crazy. So I actually didn't erase them. I saved them and there's a before and after picture. The before, there was nothing in the sky, just some clouds, you know, just random clouds. And the next picture over, there's three orange lights. And at first I just thought, oh, well, that's weird. It must just be a reflection or something. But then when I zoomed in on the far left and right above the temple, mind you, there was a sphere, a perfect sphere. If you go all, like if you zoom in as far as you can go, it's a sphere. And then the middle one looked like, to me at the time, it looked like the all-seeing eye. But my brother's like, you know, it actually looks like an old lady in a gown with her feet out, like her legs showing and her feet covered.
Yeah.
And the craziest one, and I didn't even notice it until this morning when I posted it on Facebook. I'm like, oh my gosh, wait a minute. And right above Angel Moroni, which is the golden guy on top of the temple, he's got like a trumpet in his hand.
Mormon guy. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, he was who appeared to Joseph Smith. But right above him, there's a face. And I kid you not, George, between you and I'm not one to make up stories. I was just blown away. And you can actually see the features, the hair, the ears, the jawline. It's very, you know, faint at the jawline, but you can see a face. And I encourage anybody, if they get a chance, I posted it on the Facebook Coast to Coast. There was like a video of a deer with an orb or something.
Okay.
I put it with those comments and on my profile my actual profile picture is the picture of the temple. And if you look closely, you'll see those three orange, quote unquote, lights. But I mean, make what you want of it. But I'm a firm believer of what I saw, and it's pretty interesting.
All right, we'll go take a look at it. Thanks, Wynette. Appreciate it. Let's go to Vlad, first time caller, truck driving in Indiana. Welcome to the program, Vlad.
Thank you, sir.
You are welcome.
First of all, I wanna thank you because you're making my job so easy. You know, I'm driving almost on a nighttime, listening to your program.
Well, perfect. I'm glad you're able to hear us.
I'm glad because I got through. You know,
that doesn't happen a lot, too. It's some people have waited 8 years. So I'm glad you got through. Go ahead.
I was lucky. Okay, I'm from Romania. And almost how many times I go to visit my friends, my relatives, I go and visit a castle, Bram Castle. It's Dracula's castle in pretty close to Brasov.
And your name is Vlad? That's your real name?
Yes, my real name. That's Vlad, yes.
Well, you know, Dracula was Vlad the Impaler.
I know. And last time when I visited the castle, I went there so many times, you know. I know every room, you know. I don't know why, the reason I'm going there. But every time I go and visit the castle.
And, do you feel as if you know it when you go there?
Probably because I've been there so many times. But not, I don't know. Anyway, I feel like every time I go there, I said to my wife, okay, let's go and visit the castle, you know?
Yeah.
And she said to me, come on, how many times? Let's go, you know? And the last time, I was in Dracula's bedroom.
You were in Dracula's bedroom?
Yes, in a castle, you know?
Yeah.
And we were visiting, you know, we were a group of people, you know, and I said to my wife to take me a picture because I'm going to jump in his bed and lay down and take me a picture, you know. And she said to me, you're crazy how to do that. It's a lot of people around, the security. Don't worry about it. I want to do that. And so I look around to the last, like the security guys to see me. I jump on, lay down, and my wife took me the picture.
I love it. Hey, and, Vlad, you don't bite people, do you?
No, I don't. I love people, you know.
All right.
And after we finished the visit, you know, outside of the castle, my wife says, okay, let me take your picture again. And I was behind of the wall of the castle, you know?
Yeah.
And she took me a picture. We had a pretty good camera, a digital camera.
Okay.
We went home, and my wife starts to download the picture in the computer from the camera. And I heard my wife screaming, called me to come because I was upstairs, you know. And I went downstairs, look at the picture. What's going on? And when I look on the picture, all around the last picture, all around my body, which I made it, which my wife took me on against the wall, all around my body is like multiple color, like a rainbow colors, all around my body,
all over. And there's no way that could happen, Vlad, as a reflection at all. But you know what? I got to tell you, what are the odds of talking to Vlad from Romania who goes to Dracula's castle? I wonder if you're the reincarnated Vlad the Impaler. You never know, even though you sound like a nice guy. And keep in mind, you know, as they evolve, they get better and better and better. Let me take a few more calls before the break. Vlad, thanks. Drive carefully. Let's go to Ann in Seattle, Washington, and she's on Coast to Coast. Hello, Annie.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I'm calling about because I'm still here. Remember the rapture and all that?
I'm here too.
Yeah, because it's a world without end. There's not going to be an end of the world.
I wonder how many got taken. What do you think?
None. Because it didn't happen. I don't believe it happened because if it does happen, it would happen on a Jewish holiday.
But you know what? I wonder how many people, Ann, cleaned out their bank accounts, sold things, got ready for it.
Some people probably did, yeah.
They believed
this guy. They're worried about it. Yeah, because they don't know the truth about it, really.
I can't wait to hear his excuse this time.
Yeah, right.
Well, what if he's gone? They can't find him.
He probably ran away. He's hiding. He just doesn't know. He was close, though. It's in October, but it's the first week of October. If anything, it's the Jewish New Year on Rosh Hashanah, if it does happen. Because I studied this. The rapture is like a Jewish wedding. The father comes to pick a bride for his son, which is a bride is us, the bride of Christ, to take us away. We're the bride of Christ, the church.
But as they said, though, nobody knows the time or date.
No,
right?
They don't know the days or the hour, but we do know the season. And there's a window, a 48-hour window, on the fingernail moon on the first week of October. That's Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, Jewish holiday.
First week of October. We've missed October. Well, we're going into November now.
The Feast of Trumpets, we missed it. Yeah, next year. It could be next year, I'm pretty sure now. Maybe. Jesus is late right now. Jesus was Jewish, and the rapture is referred to as the wedding.
He's getting ready for his birthday celebration.
Who is?
Jesus. It's coming up. A couple months.
But the Jewish holidays is the time frame of the rapture.
We just don't know when.
It's the harvest.
Yeah.
Because the harvest the people, right? We harvest the harvest.
Well, that's true. But and you know what? Everyone who's called the show tonight, they haven't been taken. Let's go to Alfred, truck driving in Arizona. Alfred, how does it feel? You weren't taken.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I wasn't taken today. I can't believe I'm on the radio with you.
Yeah, you made it. What's up?
Yeah, well, George, I want to blow the cover on everything that's going on. You see, I am what you call schizophrenic. But I don't believe in schizophrenia. I just believe something spiritual is happening with me. And look, this is what I go through. There's a lot of people that hear these demonic voices or the spirits. I don't know what they are, but they try to get a lot of people against me. Mm. And they're in my sleep. When I sleep, they're talking to me. When I wake up, they're talking to me. They're talking to me every second, trying to suppress me. I believe that I'm a somebody, and I have what it takes to make the exaltation when it comes, when all the energy comes down, and we're going to be exalted. Like Paul says in the New Testament, he says, "Do you not know that even ye are gods?" And he says, "Do you not know that even we shall judge angels?" And they think I'm a threat, so they suppress me.
What are they trying to do to you, Alfred? Tell me.
They're trying to suppress my exaltation from me growing spiritually.
Well, let me tell you. Let me give you a little technique. In your dream state is when you're the most vulnerable. And that's probably where you're under attack, as you were saying. Be careful. Do some meditation and some things like that right before you go to sleep. Maybe you can fight them off. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. Indeed it is, with special open lines for you tonight on Coast to Coast AM. And I guess if you're listening to me now, you were not raptured. You were not taken. Oh, well. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're going to Dallas. Robert's there, east of the Rockies, and he's on Coast to Coast. Hi, Robert.
Great show tonight, George.
Thank you, Robert.
Great. You know, I just want to be real quick with this. We have a new call for the Into the Ed Schultz show. It is on Funkmaster 5.
Mm-hmm.
You just Google search that or the YouTube channel Funkmaster 5, and we called and talked about Infowars.com and Alex Jones on there. His reaction's classic. He tries to act like he doesn't know any of it. But if you want to find that, just Google search Funkmaster 5. The video's up now.
All right, there he is. You know what? A lot of people don't know Alex. So it's possible the mainstream folks just aren't aware of what Alex Jones does. And I got to tell you, years ago, as you know, when some of the folks would call us and say, "Hey, you got to have that Alex Jones guy," I didn't know who he was either. And it takes an education to really study him. So it's very possible he doesn't really know who he is. Skype caller Bram is with us in Kumgaya, Japan. Welcome to the program. Hi, Bram.
Hi there. It's Kumagaya. It's a pleasure to be talking to you, George.
Sure.
I've got a. I can't call in on the ghost-to-ghost line, so I'd like to tell you a ghost story if you've got a moment.
Oh, yeah. Love to hear it. Go ahead.
All right. Many years ago, I lived in a place called Shizuoka Prefecture and heard about a place called Aokigahara. It's a big, big forest in the shadow of Mount Fuji. And throughout Japan, it's known as the suicide forest. It's where people go, very sad people go, to hang themselves. And they go there to starve themselves to death and go where they're not going to be disturbed. And it's claimed the lives of hikers and campers because it's easy to get lost there. Like compasses and some low-quality GPS units just will not work there.
Huh.
I've been camping and trekking and hiking. I was in the Navy. I know how to navigate, so it wasn't a problem for me. So I parked my motorcycle and walked down a path and began bushwhacking my way into the forest. Now, in most forests, you can hear the sound of birds and the wind in the trees, but for some reason, in Aokigahara, it is just so utterly, eerily silent in there.
No insect sounds, nothing, huh?
Well, in the summertime, you can hear the sound of the cicada, but
yeah.
At this time, it was in the fall, and there was not really a whole lot of sound. But it seems like the forest seemed to deaden anything, any sound that came in. And so I came across a length of long plastic ribbon, you know, like the kind of thing you might wrap up a package or something. So
yeah.
I followed this ribbon to an abandoned campsite. It was just a cheap orange-gray dome tent. Didn't look very old. It was just kind of dusty. So I called out a greeting into the tent, but I got nothing. So I thought maybe the occupant was maybe nearby. So I walked around for a little bit, and I found a note posted on the tree. But unfortunately, at this time, I couldn't read Japanese. So I took a picture of it and gave it later to a friend of mine who was good in Japanese. I thought it was a suicide note, and I thought that the person that wrote it might still be around. So I started to look for them, trying to I might be able to talk to them or something, you know, try
sure.
to talk them out of it. And it was at this point that silence just started to get to me, really started to play with my imagination. And I got this feeling that there was somebody was following me. More than once, I distinctly heard footfalls just beyond my range of vision, like just behind that tree or over that bush or over that rise. Didn't see anything. And I called out time and time again, only to be met with that absolute silence. Then, after a while, that feeling just made me go a little bit crazy, a little bit paranoid. But it started to go from being watched to being followed. At the height of my paranoia, I just found a wide clearing and just broke into a run. And about halfway across, I just suddenly stopped and went quiet. I heard running footfalls no more than a few meters behind me. I didn't turn around. I just took off like a shot. And I reached behind me to pick up I have a mini shovel. It's called an entrenching tool in my pack.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah.
I raced across the clearing, absolutely convinced that there was somebody right behind me, went crashing through a thicket to the other side, spun around to face this guy with my entrenching tool in my hand, only to be met with nothing. Absolute silence. Absolutely nothing was behind me. And I tried to pull myself together. The light was fading. I had to put down for the night, so I had to find a flat spot to pitch my tent. So I chose in the vicinity of the tree where there is the suicide note. It was then in the dimming light that I found a rope hanging from a tree.
Ugh.
A pile of old clothes or something else. Under that rope, maybe from my vantage point, it looked like white sticks. I tell you, I never got anywhere near that pile.
I know what it was, Bram. I know what it was.
I don't want to know.
Skeleton bones.
Yeah, I definitely think so. But I got out of there. With my map and my GPS in hand, I just found the nearest road, got out of there, got to my motorcycle, and took my way home as fast as I could. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was my imagination. Maybe it was. But I just know in my heart that there was something in that forest that day that did not want me to be there.
You stumbled across a suicide scene, Bram. You did. Hey, Tom's got a text message for us back in the L.A. studios. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, George, Dave from New Hampshire. He says, George, I'm thinking about learning to practice black magic, and I wanted to know how I can protect myself while I learn.
Well, that's a good question. We've talked to a lot of people about that, and some people would not, Christian Day, for example, would recommend that you don't just dabble unless you know exactly what you're doing. And don't we have Evelyn Paglini, the Good Witch, on next week?
She is indeed. We finally got a hold of her, and she's doing well, and she will be on. And I got to tell you, I've had some friends who have tried to practice this stuff, and nothing good comes of it.
Now, I think when you practice it, you open up a portal of evil.
I agree.
I really do. And it comes in.
Evil's not good.
You got it. All right, Tommy. Thanks. Next up, let's go to John in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Go ahead, John.
Yes, I've got quite a controversy and conspiracy for you, George. I'm sure your listeners would want to hear
right.
it. And
let's listen.
Huh?
Let's go. Let's listen to it.
All right. You know how the face of Mars is supposed to be a face of mirror face, right?
Right.
So called the trick of light and shadow. But what if I told you that from the same era that we got those images back in 76 from Viking, there are others. Other images that the public hasn't seen that show other faces of Mars that is not that face in Cydonia, but share similar characteristics and structure. And believe it or not, this is seen in the video. You want to hear more about it? I mean, you wouldn't believe the conspiracy behind this.
Well, I tell you what, you can email it if you're going to tell me about the video, just so we can check it out.
It's called UFO Diaries. Hoagland's in it. And as a matter of fact, I'm calling them out here now. Gary Legere and Mars Rabila.
I've seen that. I've seen that. Indeed. I have. I have. So that's nothing new. Jerry in Toronto, Canada. Welcome to the show. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, my backyard's haunted, George.
Oh, it is?
I think I was playing around with Ouija. And I think somehow the spirits from the Ouija board got into some crazy raccoons.
Uh-huh.
Because I was tracking up my recycling bin and taking out garbage. And I saw this raccoon in the backyard, and he had piercing red eyes, and he was staring right at me. Do you think that's possible because I was playing around with Ouija somehow?
There's no question about it. And you also have to be careful about raccoons. Those things can be very, very dangerous. They've been known to drown dogs. They can hold them underwater, the big ones especially. Just be careful. I mean, they're great little animals, but you got to be careful around all of them. Let's go next to Tony in Chicago, first-time caller. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay.
I got to tell you, I'm kind of tossed on Harold Camping. I've been watching this for a while, and the thing that gets me is I think he might be on to something. And I say that only because there's all these comets coming down and meteors in the area and fireballs being reported all over. But did you see on the 21st when he said that Jesus wanted to go to come back? There was a guy that came out that said that he was Christ's return. And I didn't believe it, but it was on the 21st. Ray L, R-A-E-L, Lord Ray L.
That's one of the Ray aliens.
No, that's what I thought, too. That's why at first I thought it was that UFO cult. But no, it's not that. It's apparently the Templar Knights has said that this is the Christ. I mean, they got all this proof. Check it. I'm trying to remember the website.
God, I don't believe it. Do you believe it?
I do. I kind of do now. I didn't then, but I watched all these videos, and sure enough, they've got all this proof. I mean, it's not like they're just putting stuff together. I mean, they've got video proof of all these miracles he's done, and it's pretty wild. Now again, I'm not someone that believes this kind of stuff normally, but. You know, he said it would happen that day, and then all of a sudden this Lord Real comes out, and next thing you know, these miracles, all kind of miracles. I saw one of them. They showed he actually turned the sun, and they've got video proof. I mean, it is some amazing stuff. But you know, I the other stuff, I don't know if he's right about. I mean, again, there's comets coming down, there's fireballs, but everything else, he might have been wrong. But he said that Christ was going to come back that day, and then this Lord Real comes out, and sure enough, They got all these videos. I think you should take a look at it. I don't know.
All right, we'll do that. I think, Tony, no, I haven't heard it. I think it's probably an elaborate hoax. Camping's been wrong before. He's wrong again. It's going to be interesting to see what he says and what his followers say. I mean, what's the next excuse? Oh, my, we missed it. It's going to be in March. I mean, come on. It goes on and on. I think this individual you're talking about probably knew this date of May 21st because it's been broadcast all over the planet and probably said, ah, that's my chance. That's my take. Let's go to Tampa, Florida. Donna, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Donna.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm good. I've been trying a long time to get through to tell you this.
Well, you made it, so go for it.
Okay, so my grandpa died in 97, and okay. I had a little boy who was autistic in 03, and when he was about 3 years old, I would hear him laughing a lot, like in the bathroom, in the tub, or whatever. So one day I was sitting on the bed, and I was going through old pictures, putting them in an album, and my son grabbed it, and he goes, "That's him." And I said, "That's who, baby?" He goes, "That's my friend that plays with me in the tub."
Oh.
And I said, "Oh, my God." I started crying. I said, "That is my papa. He has never met him." And I was just amazed at it.
That is strange.
I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Little kids have this ability, and it happens all the time. Does he still contact him?
He said he just seen him a couple days ago in the backyard. He was playing with him by a tree. I told him, I said, "The next time you see my papa, you tell my papa that I miss him so much and I love him very much."
You believe this too, don't you?
Yes, I believe. I listen to your show, George. Go on now. Yeah. I believe
you know it.
Pretty much
you know
a lot of things, and especially with autistic children. I have a brother that's severely autistic, and he sees ghosts all the time.
Well, I think it's wonderful that your father still comes back to see his grandson. That's the important thing.
It's amazing.
All right, Donna, thanks. Great story. Chip in Bloomington, Indiana. Welcome to the program, Chip. Go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I hope you are, too.
I'm on my way to work. So.
What do you do?
Actually, I work at a Kroger store here in Bloomington.
Okay.
Actually, quick story. My mother is going to tell me two things in her life that seem remotely non-believable. And one is that her and my father had this apartment when they first got married. And it had like an outside stairway going up to it. It was like an old house in the top floor.
Hey, Chipper, I'm losing you a little bit. Talk into your phone.
Okay, you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. They had this apartment. It was actually an old house and the top floor was the apartment. Well, there was a stairway going up to the outside. And they could hear footsteps on the stairway. Well, they would actually hear these coming up the stairs. And they would open the door and look at the stairway and still hear the steps as they're looking at the stairway. Well, that's not even the worst. The best part is that my dad worked early, so he gets up to go to work. Mom says he's been gone about 10 minutes. She's sitting on the edge of the bed. And she says, I know I was awake. I wasn't dreaming. I was sitting up. And she felt a hand on her shoulder. And she turns around, and there's this older gentleman and like old overalls.
Yeah.
He's like a farmer-looking guy. She looks up at him. He looks down at her, and he just looks disappointed, like she wasn't the one that he was looking for. He turned around, walked down the hall, and just stayed away. And
you're breaking up right at the end, Chip. So thanks for trying anyway. Jerry in Las Vegas. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Okay, my friend. How about you?
Listen, man, I'm staying in the heart of the mansion over here in Las Vegas. And Elvis stood here back in the day. There's only two buildings that exist that Elvis has been, that stood, that it's still erected, and that's the Hilton and Heartland Mansion. But anyway, we have, like, parties over here. They had a big party room over here. And we had a party the other night. And the owner's son, after the party, after we were cleaning up, he notices his broom, this old broom that was in the corner right by the door. I never seen this broom before. And he told me to grab it. I'm like, well, let me put my gloves on because it just looked old.
Yeah.
As I grabbed it, it looked like a witch broom. It had a snake wrapped around it, a rubber snake.
Jeez.
And, but before all that happened, 2 weeks prior to that, he had a preacher come over here and pray for this building because we didn't have, they've been having a lot of bad luck. And the preacher said that he saw this vision of this voodoo, a voodoo curse that's on this building. And what was strange about it is towards the east, right by the pool, he says he saw it right there. And then we, and then the following day, like I said, we find that broom in that corner. And he goes, what should I do with it? What should I do with it? He says, get rid of it. Get it out of here. Get it out of here. So I saw this trash truck pulled up, and I threw that broom inside that trash truck.
And they took it, huh?
And they took it. And it seems like ever since that happened, things are changing. They're getting more business, you know? And it just, things just change. Somebody tried to put a hex on the Heartland Mansion, but now it's over.
And I wonder what happened to that old trash truck that took the broom away. Probably
I don't know. All I know is they took it away, and hopefully they'll just throw it in the dump. You know, let it go with the rats.
Yeah, you got to be very careful with that. Hey, we're going to still have open lines, but let me tell you a little bit about what's in store for next week. Of course, as I mentioned, Ian Punnett on Saturday, George Knapp on Sunday. Then on Monday, Bill Burns and Joel Martin join me as we talk about the haunting of 20th century America. It should be a phenomenal program. Steve Pinker on Tuesday, with his work on the better angels of our nature. He's going to talk about violence, that people just seem to be into violence, and he wants to tell us why. Mark Anthony on Wednesday. No, not the singer, but the psychic lawyer joins us to talk about his work. And on Thursday, for a couple hours, the good witch Evelyn Paglini joins us on Coast to Coast AM as well. If you want to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. And also, don't forget, those of you who are interested in our book, Talking to the Dead, Amazon has it now at a steep, steep discount. You can find it in bookstores if you want it immediately, but you've also got Amazon if you want to save a little bit of money, and it makes a great Christmas gift as well. It's called Talking to the Dead, and I'll be back in a moment talking to you on Coast to Coast AM.